Maybe before we start, I'll just mention two or three things that I saw here on the Gemara that we did yesterday. There's a discussion here exactly who Achashverosh was. Rashi says, Shelo haya mizera hamelucha. Achashverosh did not have any blood in him from the king, from the lineage of the king. But there's an interesting story told in the Yalkut Shimoni about how Achashverosh married Vashti. And it seems that on the very night that Belshazzar died, which we're going to see soon, Belshazzar, who was the son of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar was the father of Vashti. So after the death of Belshazzar, like almost immediately, Dariush sat in his throne. And it was dark at night. And Vashti, the daughter of Belshazzar, came, and she didn't know that it was somebody else. She thought it was her father. She was a little girl. And Dariush had rachmanis on her. He had compassion on her. Because, you know, she thought her father was still alive. So he married her off to Achashverosh, his son, Dariush's son. So then Achashverosh was in fact the Ben Melech. And that's an interesting story in the Yalkut Shimoni. Oh wow, thanks.
You drinking?
Maybe, yeah, well, later on I'll have a tea maybe.
Okay. Yeah, you can't drink coffee, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a coffee.
Oh, are you done yet? But it's good milk.
It's good milk.
Yeah, it's good. I put some in the fridge already. I didn't know you were. I didn't know you were bringing. Thanks. Now, in terms of Mehodu Vad Kush, you remember we had two opinions as to whether or not they were close to each other, these provinces, or they were on the opposite sides of the globe. Mm-hmm. That was Machlokas Rav and Shmuel.
Right.
So he quotes a Sefer, Manos HaLevi, who says that both Rav and Shmuel agree that Hodu and Kush was close to each other. Machlokas is only with regard to the sphere of the earth. Which direction do you go? Do you calculate Mehodu Viad Kush going in opposite directions and then you cover the entire globe? Well, Mehodu Viad Kush means one towards each other. Depends where the arrow is. But in any event, the Gemara points out that everybody agrees that, and it's explicit in the Megillah, that Achashverosh ruled over 127 provinces.
At the time of the Megillah, the assumption was that the earth was flat, not round.
I don't know. He's assuming the earth was round.
Yeah, that's...
Now the Gemara is a havamina here that Shlomo Avel should be included on the list of those who ruled over the entire world. Right, we have a list of three people here in the Gemara. That's Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar. And the Gemara asks, what about Shlomo? So this Gemara's havamina is a little bit problematic because, in fact, there were many other kings that ruled over various countries at the time of Shlomo. Now, for example, there was Melech Mitzrayim. There was Melech Tzur, there was Malka Shva. So what was Gemara thinking when it asked the question that Shlomo also ruled over the world? So he quotes the Sifsei Chachamim, Eina kavona sheyisholed al kol ha-medinos. That's not what the Gemara's Havamina was. Shlomo certainly shared the rulership of the world with many other kings. Ela, Shehu haya ha-melech ha-gadol, Shlo haya ba-olam melech kamoso. No, he was the most powerful king on the face of the earth. And apparently other kings would first confer with him, and if Shlomo Melech decided he would go out to battle, they would allow him to do so. That was the Havamina. There's another long discussion here about David HaMelech. Did he actually rule over the world at some point? Okay, let's see what we're up to for today. You do Aleph Amid Beis. The last Gemara that we did yesterday was Amar Rava. So see if you can find that. It's about, I would say, maybe 15 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Basrei, if that helps you.
You just had the line before.
Right, b'yom ha'hem, you're right, I should quote the pasuk before I read Rava. B'yom ha'hem kishevas ha'melech, and then immediately afterwards it says b'shnas sholosh l'malko. So he throws this great banquet after the third year. So what does it mean that it kishevas? Kishevas means that initially he took over the malchus, but yet he waited 3 years until he threw this soiree, this great banquet. So, Rabbi, my kisheves. What does it mean after 3 years kisheves? Li'achashen is yashva daito. So here's the story. Achashverosh was worried about the people of Israel. He thought that they were a threat towards independence, you know, towards a declaration of independence. And it seems that the political power of the Jewish people that would rally them together would be the building of the Beis HaMikdash, because we're talking in the period of time after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, before the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdash. So Achashverosh is very worried, and he wants to see if there'll be a fulfillment of the prophecy of Yirmiyah. And we're going to read the prophecy of Yirmiyah a little bit later on. I'll mention it now, just in a general sense, that Yirmiyah prophesies that 70 years after Golus Bavel, HaKadosh Baruch would come to redeem Bnei Yisrael from the Golus, from the exile, and there would be a rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. So Achashverosh thought that if this prophecy would come to fruition, then the Jews would sort of declare independence, and they would, you know, they would go on to the land of Israel and establish the Beis HaMikdash and fulfill the prophecy of Yirmiyah. But Yirmiyah said it would be 70 years after Golus Bavel. So what's going to happen now is that Achashverosh is going to calculate 70 years of Golus Bavel. And if the 70 years pass, then he realizes that this promise of Yirmiyah is not going to come to fruition, and then his malchus is absolutely controlled. He controls the whole world. And in order to reach this 70 years, he had to wait 3 years after he became king. Now, before this whole story of Achashverosh, there was a story with Belshazzar. We touched on it before. Belshazzar, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he made a party for his officers and his servants. And he, Belshazzar, thought that the 70-year period that Yirmiyah foretold had already terminated, and therefore the prophecy of Yirmiyah was not going to come to fruition. So Belshazzar took out the Klei HaMikdash that were taken by his father Nebuchadnezzar from the Beis HaMikdash, and he made a party. And on that night he died. So Achashverosh now Omar, he makes the following declaration. Belshazzar chishev vita. Belshazzar's calculation of 70 years was a mistake. And Belshazzar was premature when he came to the conclusion that the 70 years of Golus Bavel had passed. And in fact, it was 7 years before the end of the 70-year period. So now Achashverosh says that if Belshazzar died because he made this mistaken calculation, Ana Chashiva, I'll make the calculation, Velotaina, I'm not going to make any mistakes, and I'll be able to use the Klei HaMikdash without being punished. So Belshazzar was the, in a sense, the precursor of Achashverosh, sort of following in the footsteps of Belshazzar, just like Belshazzar made a party and took out the Klei HaMikdash thinking that the 70-year period was ended. So too Achashverosh made a party with the Klei HaMikdash because he thought that the 70-year period had passed. But Achashverosh declares, I'm not going to make the mistake that Belshazzar made. Now, in the Masifta, he has a long introduction here. I'll try to summarize it to the next sugya, because the Gemara that's going to now go through the various calculations, Belshazzar's calculation of 70, Achashverosh's calculation of 70, and where each one made a mistake, let's get a little bit of the background. Now, part of the issue that's going to come up in this Gemara is when do we start the calculation of the 70 years? We know from Yirmiyahu it's going to be after Golus Bavel, but exactly when does Golus Bavel begin? That's the subject of actually three different possibilities. One possibility is to say that as soon as Nebuchadnezzar became the king over Bavel, that itself is the beginning of Golus Bavel, because shortly after he became king, we'll see in the second year of his Malchus, he fights against the Malchi Yehuda that were at that time ruling over the land of Israel. And he's going to send all these kings from Yehuda into Golus. We'll see what the names of these kings are in just a second. Now, during this period of time, again, starting from the second year of Malchus Nebuchadnezzar of Bavel, when he comes in to conquer the land of Israel, in a piecemeal set, you know, in segment, piece by piece, he battles these wars against Israel over the course of years, and in each particular successful battle with his armies, he takes over part of the people of Israel and brings them back to Bavel into exile. So based on the Rashi's here, we're going to present the following sequence of events, all by way of introduction. Yoyakim is now the king of Judah, of Yehuda, and in the fourth year of his Malchus, which is the second year of Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar comes up to Eretz Yisrael, he conquers Yehoyakim and subdues him. He takes Yehoyakim into exile back into Bavel, together with some of the Klei HaMikdash. And keep in mind, the Mikdash is still standing. But immediately afterwards, he returns Yehoyakim to Yerushalayim to be a king. But now Yehoyakim is what you call a puppet king. That he's totally machnia himself to Nebuchadnezzar. So this again is in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus over Bavel. Now, how long of a period of time is Yehoyakim now this puppet king in Eretz Yisrael? That's for 3 years. Now, after the third year, Yehoyakim rebels against Nebuchadnezzar and reestablishes, reclaims his Malchus for a period of 3 additional years. So we have 3 years plus 3 years, added to the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was already a king for 1 year, so now we're 7 years. Okay, now at this point, Nebuchadnezzar sends in troops of Kazdim, and they overcome Yehoyakim, and Yehoyakim is taken back to Bavel. This whole machlokus exactly when Nebuchadnezzar had Yehoyakim murdered, whether it was when he took him out of Yerushalayim or maybe he took him back to Yerushalayim in order to publicly murder him. That's not for us now. But at this point, the Nebuchadnezzar appoints the son of Yehoyakim, his name is very similar name, Yehoyachin, as the king of Israel. That covers another period of 3 months. After 3 months, Nebuchadnezzar takes Yehoyakim into Golus Bavel, and at this point he ransacks the Beis HaMikdash. He takes all sorts of things from the Beis HaMikdash and all sorts of things from the treasury of the king, and together with Yehoyakim, he takes 10,000 Jews into Golus. Now, this group of 10,000 Jews is made up of the Chachamim, the scholars, the Chashuvim, the important leaders, and the Giborim and the military giants, the powerful people. So 10,000 Jews are now taken into Golus together with Yehoyakim. And who's left in Eretz Yisrael? The rank and file population, again, still most of the Jews are left in Eretz Yisrael. And at this point, Nebuchadnezzar appoints Tzidkiyahu as the king over Israel. Again, Tzidkiyahu is meant to be under the rulership of Nebuchadnezzar, but he's the befall king over Israel. Now Tzidkio rules now for 11 years, and at that point Nebuchadnezzar takes Tzidkio into Golus and destroys the Beis HaMikdash, destroys Yerushalayim under the military power of someone by Nebuzaradan, right? We talk about him in the Kiddush. And afterwards, he takes almost the entire remainder of the Jewish population in Israel into Golus Bavel. He leaves a few poor people in Eretz Yisrael so they should work the fields and the vineyards. And at this point of the Golus, Nebuchadnezzar takes all the Klei HaMikdash, whatever was left, Nechoshes, Amudim, Mechonos, and he takes them to Bavel. So in the light of that background, we can begin to understand Belshazzar's calculation. Mayhi, what was Belshazzar's calculation? Why did he think that the 70 years of Yirmiyah had passed? Now's the time where we want to read the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. Tichsiv, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, and it's in the 29th parak of Yirmiyah, it says, Ki lefi melos lebavel shivim shana efkod eschem lahashiv eschem elamokam hazeh. In other words, after 70 years that Klal Yisrael go into Golus Bavel, from the time they go into Bavel, 70 years will pass, and then they will return to their land. And then Ksiv, Uksiv, it's in addition, we have a pasuk in Daniel. Daniel also knew about Yirmiyah's Nevuah. Ani Daniel binosi v'svarim, mispar hashonim asher hayu dvar Hashem al Yirmiyah Navi, lemalos lecharvos Yerushalayim shivim shana. Now, this pasuk is premature, and a lot of the Girsos don't have this pasuk here, because this pasuk is going to indicate the third and correct calculation. We're going to go through two mistaken calculations, one of Belshazzar and the other of Achashverosh. But the ultimate interpretation, the correct interpretation of Yirmiyah is based on this pasuk in Daniel, Lemalos Lecharvos Yerushalayim. So we have to really calculate not 70 years from the time the Jews were exiled into Bavel, but from 70 years after the Churban of Yerushalayim. And keep in mind, the Churban of Yerushalayim took place 11 years into the Malchus of Tzidkio. So that's a good deal of time later. So Belshazzar, he's going to assume, based on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, that when it says Lebavel, ki lefi melos lebavel shivim shana, Lebavel means Golus Bavel, which means that from the time that the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar is established in Bavel. Now, how long is Nebuchadnezzar going to be king over Bavel? Chashov Arboim Nechamesh, the Nebuchadnezzar. So start with the number 45. Now, Nebuchadnezzar takes over the Malchus and he defeats Asar Chadon. Okay, again, you don't have to memorize all these names. I certainly don't memorize these names. I'm just reading it from the Masifta. Asar Chadon was the king of Assyria of Ashur, and he's vanquished by Nebuchadnezzar, and such begins the period of Malchus Bavel. And according to Belshazzar's understanding, his misinterpretation of Yirmiyah, when it says Lib Bavel, Malos Lebavel Shivim Shana, Lebavel means from Malchus Bavel, and the Malchus of Bavel, when they defeated Ashur, was the year in which Nebuchadnezzar became the Melech Bavel. That's the beginning of the 7-year period according to Belshazzar's understanding. Now, after Nebuchadnezzar is gone, that's after the 45-year period, V'od Esrim Utlas De'avil Merodach. Now, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who takes over the Malchus after Nebuchadnezzar, his name is Avil. Now, in the vocalization here, he has it as Evil. So I was thinking, if you write the word Evil in English, you would have E-V-I-L. Yeah. And that's exactly what he was. Anyway, so he rules over Bavel for another 23 years. Okay, so let's calculate now, if you add the 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus to the 23 years of Avil Mordach, you end up with 68 years. So we're 2 years shy of the termination of Yirmiyah's prophecy. And now Tarti Didei. Now Belshazzar takes over from his brother Avil Merodach, and he rules now for 2 years. you add the 2 years to the 45 plus 23 is 68, you get 70, Hashivim, and nothing's happening. The Beis HaMikdash is not being built. So Belshazzar figures, that's it. The prophecy is not coming to fruition. Apik money to Beit Mikdash. He takes out the Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash, which were brought into the Golas, into Babel, by Nebuchadnezzar. Vishtavish Bahu, and he uses them at the Mishter. But he made a mistake, and he's going to die on that very same night as a punishment for using the Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash. Now, at this point, we're going to have a long digression, and this digression is dedicated to try to calculate the 45 and the 23. In other words, how do we know that Nebuchadnezzar ruled over Babel for 45 years, etc.? And then we're going to come back on track and try to figure out what was Belshazzar's mistake, and finally, why did Achashverosh think that he would correct that mistake? Okay, so right now we're in a digression mode, if you know what I mean. How do we know the Arboim v'chaveh shonin molach, that he was a king ruling for 45 years? The Omar Mar. Now, whenever it says in the Gemara Omar Mar, it's referring to a brisa. So it's very interesting that the Gemara is now going to quote a brisa. Some of the information in this brisa is based on Psukim in Tanakh. Some of this information apparently was a Kabbalah, was some sort of tradition that was passed down through the Jewish tradition. Now this brisa is part of a work. You know, there are many different works of brises, collections of brises. This anthology is called Seder Olam. Just mentioning that as we pass. Okay. Now, the issue or the challenge that the Seder Olam is facing is because there are various different kinds of calculations as exactly when Golas Bavel began. Based on different psukim, you get different impressions about Golas Bavel. And the answer to that is because Golas Bavel was actually piecemeal, as we said before. It took place over the course of time, and there were different periods of Golas, especially during the Nebuchadnezzar's period, because during those 45 years, he gradually, step by step, took the various kings of Israel into Golas. And when he did so, he took with him many of the people of Israel. So the first calculation, or shall we say the first indication, which is again in Yirmiyahu Novi about Golas Bavel, when was the beginning of Golas Bavel, is the number 7, Golu B'Sheva. In other words, 7 years into the kingship of Nebuchadnezzar, the Golas of Bavel begins. Again, Belshazzar is not going to calculate these years, but these years are going to be very critical for Achashverosh's calculation, because he's going to interpret that the word Lebavel doesn't refer to the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, but rather refers to the Golas of Klal Yisrael into Bavel. So 7 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and again, let's go over those 7 years one more time. It's the second year of his reign when he sends his battalions into the land of Israel, and he takes Yoyakim into Golas together with some of the Jews, and that's going to be a period of 3 years. Then he puts Yoyakim back into Eretz Israel, appoints him as a puppet king for another 3 years. So we're now 7 years into Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and now at this point he's going to take Yoyakim, murder him, and take out 10,000 Jews. So that's going to be the first major golus, and that's going to take place in the 7th year. Now, there's another pasuk that seems to indicate Golu B'Shmona. Now, if you're talking about the 8th year, then we're talking not about Yehoyakim, but we're talking about his son Yehoyachin. The names are very similar, so it's easy to make a mistake. And that's recorded in a different book in Tanakh, in the book of Malachim Beis. I'll read the whole pasuk to you. It says, "Vayikacho somel bavel b'shna shmona lemolcho." Now, although Yehoyachin was appointed king, but that was only for a very short period of time. So we're really going into the beginning of the 8th year. Later on, the Gemara is going to point out that these are what's called shanim mikutovs, that we're calculating years, even though it's only a fraction of a year. And that's going to also contribute to the various mistaken calculations. But in any event, we're now up to the 8th year, and Golu B'Shmonasrei Now we're up to the third period of time. So the second period of time is what we call Golus Yoyakim. So we have number one, Golus Yoyakim. Number two, that's 7 years. Then that's the seventh year into the Nebuchadnezzar. We have Golus Yoyakim. Well, no, I didn't say that right. I mean, when I say 7 years into Nebuchadnezzar, again, that 7 years is made up of three different fractions, three different numbers. There's the first year when Nebuchadnezzar is Melech Bavel. Then he goes into Eretz Yisrael and conquers Yehoyakim. That gives us another 3 years. Okay, Yehoyakim is now in Bavel. After that 3 years, which is again after 4 years of Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar takes Yehoyakim back to Eretz Yisrael, and he has him rule as a puppet ruler for 3 more years. So we're now 7 years into Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of that 7 year period, Nebuchadnezzar murders Yehoyakim and takes many, many Jews into Golus, together with the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and then he appoints Yehoyakim, the son of Yehoyakim, as king. That doesn't last much. That goes into the 8th year. And now we get to another period of time, which is indicated by a pasuk in Yirmiyah, and that's 18 years, Gol B'Shmonayesrei. So now we're into the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, and there's a Golus from Yerushalayim. Now, we're going to soon see that that's the Golus of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. That's already a different period of time. But again, all this is calculating the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. We're up to the year 18. Now we have another pasuk that says Golu B'Tshaesrei. This is also in Sefer Yirmiyahu, and that seems to indicate that it's the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And I'll read to you the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It says Hinei Shnas Tshaesrei Shana LeMelech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Bod Nebuzaradan Ravat HaBochim. That's when Nebuzaradan is appointed as the chief executioner, and he's going to ransack the Beis HaMikdash. And again, the answer to all these discrepancies is that we're talking about different Golios. The first Golos is Gol B'Sheva L'Kibush Yoyakim. So again, in the 7th year of Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he conquers the land under Yoyakim, he takes Yoyakim, the king of Judah, into Golos Bavel. And then, that's in the 7th year, and then comes following Golos Yoyakim. Okay, that was the Golos that was mentioned in Yirmiyahu in the 7th year of Nebuchadnezzar, and that takes us over into the 8th year. V'shehi, that's the same Golos that's mentioned in Sefer Melachim as the 8th year, Shmona lit Nebuchadnezzar, the 8th year of the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar. So then there was a Golos of 7, that's Yoyakim, and then there was the 8th year, which is called the Golos of Yoyakim. I'm sorry, Yoyakim, and then there's the Yoyakim. Okay, fine. Now we're up to this period of time after the 8th year. Now we're up to what's called the second Golos. The second Golos, which is indicated by Yirmiyahu in the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Golu B'Shmonayesrei L'Kibush Yoyakim, Golos Tzidkiyahu. So now we're referring to the Golos of Tzidkiyahu. Now Tzidkiyahu, let's go back again to Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu is going to be king for 11 years. Okay, so if we add the 11 years to the 7 years, because again, Yoyakim was only king for three months, so we're talking about a full 18 years going into the 19th year, and that's going to be the year of Golos Tzidkiyahu, which is the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. And at this Golos, most of Klal Yisrael, together with all the Klei HaMikdash that were left, were taken into Bavel, were taken into exile. The Gemara now asks, how do we know that Nebuchadnezzar captured Yoyakim in the 2nd year of his Malchus? That was the premise on which this whole building, the foundation of this whole structure. Doma Mar B'Shona Rishona Kibesh Ninveh U'B'Shnia Kibesh Yoyakim. It took 1 year, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus, to conquer a city which was the capital city of Ashur, of Assyria. That's called Ninveh. And after 1 year, when he conquered Ashur, he was ready to go on to Yerushalayim to conquer Yoyakim and his Malchus. Okay, so right now, we know that Nebuchadnezzar was the king. Uksiv, now we get another pasuk. Vayhi b'shloshim v'sheva shanim l'gols yo yochem elich Yehuda v'shnas v'shneim asar chodesh b'esrim v'chamishol chodesh nasa avil merodach melech bavel b'shnas b'chusas rosh yo yochin melech Yehuda v'yotzeo somi v'es hakolu. So we now have the Malchus of Avil Merodach, and that begins 37 years, the Pasuk says, Shloshim v'sheva shanim, after the Golus of Yoyachin. So now the Golus of Yoyachin was in the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar's Malchus. Correct? So now if you take the 8 years of Nebuchadnezzar up until the Golus of Yoyachin, and now you add the Utalsin v'sheva, and it was only after 37 years beyond Golus Yoyachin that Nebuchadnezzar's son Avil Merodach took over. So we add the number 37 to the number 8, and 37 and 8 is 45. Harei Arboim v'chamesh de Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, now how long did Avil Merodach rule until Belshazzar takes over? Esrim Utlas de Avil Merodach. Gemara. The Gemara says we don't have any psukim to prove that Avil, this evil Merodach, was king for 27 years. It's all based on a Kabbalah. Kach kiblu b'yadeinu mirabosenu. That's called Gemara. And if we add the 20... If we add the 23 to the 45, we end up with 68. Now we have to get from 68 to 70. It's Tarti Didei. Now Belshazzar takes over from Avil Merodach. And he reigns for 2 years. Hashivim, now he gets to the number 70. So it's 70 years since Malchus Babel was established by Nebuchadnezzar. That's a calculation of 45 plus 23 plus 2. Omar, so Belshazzar declares, Hashtavadai Sulo Mifrike is Purkon, which is Geula. In other words, Bnei Yisrael, the people of Israel, are not going to return to their land and to reestablish their base of English. The Nevuah of Yirmiyah is not going to come to fulfill. Apik money to Beit Mikdash, he took out the Kalim of the base of English. Tamishbu, he made a Suda, he made a feast, and he used the Kalim of the base of Mikdash for a feast. Hainu de Kamar le Daniel. Daniel said to him, and this is heavy Aramaic here, so I'm going to try my best, and if not, maybe you have the English translation. I don't have a Tanakh with English here in front of me. Al Mori de Shmayis Romamta Ulemone di Bese Havis Haisiv Kadamach. So the best I can do here is that you try to raise yourself above the master of the heavens, and you took the vessels from his house, meaning from the Mikdash. Is that what you have, more or less, in English? More or less, again, it's a rough
term. Above the master of heaven, you have exalted yourself.
A little louder. Start again, I'm sorry.
Above the master of heaven, you have exalted yourself, and the vessels of his house, they have brought before you.
Do you have anything else here? Because he has the rest of the pasuk in the...
No,
he says, V'ant v'rav v'vonach shegalsach ulechensach chamra shasin bahon. And you and your people are drinking from the vessels, you know, the wine and so forth and so on. So now we get to another pasuk in which Daniel describes the punishment of Belshazzar on that very same night. Dichsiv bei balaylok til Belshazzar malka, and on that night Belshazzar was killed. Uksiv, and further he was punished vidaryevesh midah. Midah, I think, is Medes, if not from Medes.
Right, yeah.
Kibel Malchuse, he took over the Malchus from Belshazzar, Kvar Shnin Shitin Vitarsin. Now, I don't know what the word Kvar means. Already? That doesn't make
sense.
He had,
in other words, could it be he was, because it sounds like he was saying he was king before, in other words.
He was king before? I don't know. That gets me scared. What's the exact English translation of the word?
This is saying at the age of 62. So maybe he was already at the age of 62?
Oh, I see. He was already 62 years old when he became the king in place of Belshazzar. Okay, fine. And at this point, I think we're ready to see what Belshazzar's mistake was. Because now it says Omar. Do you have the next word in your Gemara is Omar?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Achashverosh speaking. Iu, he, meaning Belshazzar, mitatoy, made a mistake in his calculation. I'm going to make a recalculation and it'll be more accurate. Volotaina, I'm not going to make any mistake. In other words, that Belshazzar started counting this 70 years prematurely from the beginning of the Malchus and the Nebuchadnezzar. Miksiv, this is Achashverosh, the big Lamdan. Right, what does it say in the Pasuk? It doesn't say Lamalchus Bavel in Yirmiyah. He says Lebavel Ksiv, Umay Lebavel Legolus Bavel. So it's not the beginning of the kingship of Bavel when Nebuchadnezzar took over, but rather it's the beginning of the Golus of Bavel. Ah. If it's the beginning of Golus of Bavel, then the Golus of Bavel really happens 7 years later, also into the eighth year, right? Because we have Yoyakim at the end of the seven-year period, and we have Yoyakim in the beginning of the eighth-year period. So the Gemara asks a rhetorical question, Kama Bitsirin, so how much of a miscalculation did Achashverosh make? How many years was he off by? Timnah, he was off by 8 years. In other words, from the time of Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, Until the Golus of Bnei Yisrael was an 8 year period of time. So now Achashverosh says, you know what, I'm going to make up for that mistake. Chashiv the oil chilufayu. So Achashverosh now calculates this additional 8 years. How does he do so? Kada de Belshazzar. Oh, I see what he's saying. Kada, first of all, let's take the period of Belshazzar, which is the which is the third year of his Malchus, because already in the third year of his Malchus he made this error. V'chamesh de Daryavash, so we now have 5 plus 1 is 6. V'koresh V'tarte de Day, and now Achashverosh is going into his third year, so now we have 1, 5, 2, and 2. Is that's going to be 8? Let me go over that one more time. Just 1 second. One, six, and then two
is eight.
Is eight.
And said two more.
And we were only missing eight. My mistake. So we were only missing eight. Everybody's making mistakes today, so I'm on good terms.
Okay.
Except it could cost you big.
All right.
Anyway,
we'll work it together.
So we made up for the 8 years. Yeah. Hashivin. So now it's now 70 years since Golus Yisrael, Biad Bavel, which means the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So we're starting from the eighth year of Nebuchadnezzar, calculating 70 years. We've already calculated the 70 years. Came into Chazni to Molu Shivim Velo Ifrik, and after 70 years passed, and yet Klal Yisrael were not saved and redeemed from the exile. Omar, he declared, Hashta Vadai, now for sure, Sulo Mifkrei, there won't be any fulfillment. And therefore, apik money to be mikdasha, he takes out the kelim beis hamikdash. Just tamish, we use them at the mishteh. And some say I think we're going to have this in the Gemara later on, that he wore the bigdei kahuna himself. And basically, Achashverosh is throwing this bash in order to celebrate the downfall of the Jewish people. You know, this is going to be a very important introduction. The Gemara later is going to ask why did we merit, in quotation marks, the decree of Haman? What was our sin? What was the sin of the Jewish people at that time? And one of the opinions is that Shenenu Misudasa Shalos Rasha. Imagine, the agenda of this Suda was to celebrate the fact that Klal Yisrael would not be redeemed, and the Jewish people show up at that. You know, it's like, this is like Jews hating, self-hating Jews. It was a terrible avera. In any event, Bas Satan. Now, here you have to ask yourself the following question. If the pattern would have repeated itself, based on what happened to Belshazzar at his feast, who should really die at the feast of Achashverosh? But I'm not sure why. I don't have an answer to this. Give me another day or two and I'll try to come up with an answer. Bas Satan v'riked beinam v'horages Vashti. Now, it could be that Vashti's death is a punishment for Nebuchadnezzar, because she's Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter. And it's also punishment for Belshazzar. And it's also at the same time a punishment for Achashverosh. So again, I'm just throwing out an idea that's probably worthless, but just to throw it out there, that maybe God wanted to achieve a threefold punishment here, you know, with one makkah. So the Gemara now asks for Hashapir Chashiv. So where was Achashverosh's mistake? I mean, if we put Belshazzar's calculation on the side, and instead of starting from the beginning of Malchus Bavel, start from Golas Bavel, that was in the eighth year, Hashapir Chashiv, it seems like he was correct. So why weren't the Jewish people in fact redeemed on the third year of Achashverosh's Malchus? And the Gemara answers, Iunami Mitotoi, he too was made a tos in his cheshbin, the boil and mimni micharvas Yerushalayim, right? And here we go back to that pasuk that was quoted earlier, and the pasuk indicated this was a pasuk in Yirmiyo, lemalos lecharvas Yerushalayim shivim shana. So we're not talking about Golus Klal Yisrael, but rather the churban of the Beis Hamikdash, which took place during the second period of Golus, which was the period of Tzidkiyo, and that was in the 19th year of Malchus Nebuchadnezzar. So instead of starting from the, you know, 7 years into Nebuchadnezzar, we start the calculation 19 years into the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, because that's when the Churban took place. So the Gemara says this still doesn't make any sense. Why? Sof sof kama betzirin. So what is your margin of error over here? The answer is 11 years. Why? Because Achashverosh counted 18 years of Malchus Nebuchadnezzar, when in truth, he should have been Achashverosh counted 8 years into the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, starting with the 8th year, which was Golus Yochim, and he made a mistake. He should have calculated 19 years into the Malchus of Nebuchadnezzar, the time of the Churban HaBayis. So that's a discrepancy of 11 years. Now, Achashverosh himself, Kamashonim, how long did he molach? Did he reign? Arbesar, he reigned for 14 years. I have a long footnote on this, how they calculate that Achashverosh reigned for 14 years. In any event, the Arbesar D-Day, on the 4th year of Achashverosh, I'm sorry, on the 14th year of Achashverosh, Iboile Lemivne Beis HaMikdash, the Nevuah of Yirmiyah should have come to fruition, and the Mikdash should have been rebuilt, because it's already 70 years since Churban Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. Correct? Because yeah, right. we calculated the 11-year discrepancy, we've added 11 years, and now we're up to the 14th year of Achashverosh's reign. Is Allah Maksiv, why does it say in the Pasuk, Badayin bitalt avidas beis eloha di Birushalayim? Okay, so let's see. Do we have a translation for that? It's the Aramaic is a little bit tough here. It's mamish at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amid Aleph Amid Beis.
Then the work of the temple of God in Jerusalem was discontinued.
So in other words,
the Karbanos.
It's the Karbanos? The work of the building of the base? I thought it was the building of the base. We'll have to research this. Anyway, so it means that the whole process was slowed down, and this strengthens the Gemara's Kasha, that they didn't build the base of Migdosh until the Malchus of Daryavesh, and that's going to be in the second year of Daryavesh. That's a bit after Achashverosh. In other words, during the entire period of Achashverosh, they were not building the Beis HaMikdash. So, and this is way after the 70-year period of the Churban. Omar Rava, here's where Rava indicates what I mentioned before, Shana Mikutos Havi, that in our calculations, we mistakenly calculated half years or part of years as full years. In the Hebrew translation, he says Yesh b'hem shanim shenivloim zebazeh. So, in other words, you have sort of like an overlap of years, and therefore we're missing a period of 2 years, and that's the 2 years until Daryavish would allow for the rebuilding of the second bayis. And now we're up to Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Tanya Nami Hachi. We also have a brisa to support this sheet of Rava that there was a Nivla Shanim, and therefore there's another discrepancy of 2 years. It says in the Brayse of Yod Shana, Acheres Lebavel V'yomad Daryavash V'hishlima. So Daryavash is going to make up for this discrepancy, and hence we have the 70-year period, and that's when the building of the base, the second base, will begin under Daryavash. Okay, what time is it now? Okay, we have, let's see what I have. I'll just read to you one note here. And Belineta, tomorrow I'm going to make a note that we start with Omer Rava here on the top of Daf Yud Beis. Omer Aleph. His note is the following. He says that in the Braisa that we began with from Seder Olam, it says the following. It says, Be Belelok Til Belshazzar Malka Kazdov Daryavish Midah Kibo Malchus. On the very night that Belshazzar was killed, his kingship was replaced by Daryavish, who is a Madai, Madah. And Hare Shivim Shana Miyom Shemalch Nuchanetzar, Shivim Chaser Achas Miyom Shekibe Sheoyakim, Vyod Shana Cheres Lebavel, Lemalos Shivim Shana Mishasholal Al Yisrael, Vyomad Daryavish Vishlima. So Daryavish is going to complete the 70-year period, Vyachra Vishana Cheres Molach Korash. Bibavel, the Nifkada Pekida Bimiktas, Shaoma Mibachem Umi Mikol Amo Yehielakov Imo Vial. So from this Bryce of Seder Olam, we see that we needed 1 year of Daryavish's Malchus in order to complete the 70-year period. And Malchus Nebuchadnezzar was 45 years, Avil Merudach was 23 years, Belshazzar was 2 years. Nimtza Shivim Shana Afla Lo Ashlamas Daryavish El Al Karchash and Nivla Shana Biminyan Shnosa Malchus Shal Nebuchadnezzar V'Avil Murdach V'Lo Malchu Yachad Ela Shishim V'Sheva Shonim. Ah, so that's the discrepancy. We have to go into Daryavish's 1 year because we're missing 1 year. It's not 68 years, but rather 67 years. So that's going to be the process that the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash is going to start in the after a year of Daryavish, which means after 70 years, starting with the Golus Shnia, the second Golus of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, 19 years into the Nebuchadnezzar's reign at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and that's the 70-year period, and that's it. Well, the only thing we're missing here is a chart. I wish we had a chart that went through all the different kings.
Oh, they have that in here, actually.
Oh, they have such a thing?
Yeah.
Ooh, if we could photocopy that, that would be great. I don't have access to these English translations. That's what I'm missing. Oh, that's good. Oh, all right. Can you take a picture of that or something?
Yeah.
Maybe. All right. Rabosa, I wish you all a good day.